about is the small savings loan. We actually get monthly mortgage was satisfied, and we got payment for it, and now I can release the stores of the mortgage, and that's what this resolution.
Okay, good.
That money will go into the small savings fund.
Great. Looks like it's $8,100 roughly?
Correct, yes.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So we can use that for?
It's for the revolving loan.
It's the revolving loan.
The small cities, it's grant monies you get through small cities to.
Right.
A lot of different things you can do with the money. It's more residential based.
Right.
You can help people with their, repair their homes. County manages it for us, though.
The Atlantic County Improvement Authority.
Right.
This particular one was, they could put it in front of us in our house.
Right.
And it's a down payment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next is Resolution 2020-321, and this is authorizing the submission of a grant application, TA-2020, Ventnor City, -00033, and execute a grant agreement with the State of New Jersey Department of Transportation for the Transportation Alternative Set Aside Program.
So this is a grant application for streetscape on Ventnor Avenue. We've applied for it in the past. We've got shot down three times.
Yeah, I think we'll get it this time.
We're trying. You know, you keep asking, and you eventually get it, so. They keep getting bumped up, so.
Right, right.
We look at it. They only fund so many projects a year.
Right, so eventually we'll get.
But they're expensive to do streetscapes. I think people should know that they're a neighborhood of $200,000 a block, right?
Yeah, the one that we did on, for three blocks was $1 million, $1.2 million.
Right.
With what we put in. So we got $800K from the state, DOT, and we put $300 in ourselves.
So if we can get a grant, it's always, it's an improvement, it's a help.
Okay, thank you. Next is Resolution 2020-322, and this is a resolution approving the liquor license renewal for Ventnor Avenue Pizza Incorporated, Santucci's. Now, I know we have some things added to that.
Yeah, there's some conditions that we're adding to this.
Do you want to read them, Lance, or do you want me to read them?
I'll read through the three of them. I think the two are on everybody's, and we added the last one today. Outdoor service of alcohol is limited to 12 a.m. every day. No amplified music may be played in such a manner as to create a noise disturbance for any person other than the operator of the device, as stated in the Ventnor City Code, and is limited to 10 p.m. nightly. Food must be, and this is the one that we've focused on, food must be available at all times while alcohol is being served. So the kitchen can't shut down.
Right.
And they serve alcohol till, we allow 1 a.m., I think, right?
We did, now this does.
Yeah, this knocks it back to.
So we went from 1 to noon, to midnight.
Yeah.
And clarifying, which was already in the license, that food has to be available.
We just wanted to emphasize those three conditions.
Right.
Great.
So we're appreciative of what they're doing. We just had, we had to fine tune it.
Yeah.
To make it work for our city.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Mayor, do you think we should say that kitchen must be open when alcohol beverages are being served? Because when you say food available, I'm just wondering.
We could change that to say the kitchen must be open while alcohol is being served. I'm fine with that. You guys good with that? That was Maria's one comment that you had, so, all right, so.
Right.
Chief, does that help?
That was.
Yeah, that kind of tends to be what I mean. And I'll answer questions of people that are going, just getting alcohol, and knowing that they have to get food or.
Well, they don't.
Have the ability to get food for alcohol.
Have the ability, right.
Because I don't want them to then say, oh, we do serve food, chips and.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point, Tim.
No, I like that we've taken our time on this, and we've done it properly, and that we're throwing these words around to get the right word, so I think, I like where it's headed, and I like where we're at.
So that item number three will now read, kitchen must be open at all times while alcohol is being served.
Correct.
That good?
I think that gets me what I need, and satisfies everybody else without.
It must be open and operating to serve food.
Open and serving food.
So it doesn't turn into just a bar after 10 o'clock.
Gotcha.
Right.
So read it one more time.
We'll have.
All right, I'm going to change it here. So kitchen must be open and serving food at all times when alcohol is being served. Good with that change?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At all times, okay.
And the motion, when we get to that, the motion would be to adopt this amendment?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for working through that, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay. Next is Resolution 2020-323, and this is authorizing the City of Ventnor to apply and accept a sub-grant award of the Federal Fiscal Year 2020 of the Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management Performance Grant Program funding, and for the City Chief Financial Officer to amend the budget and certify the available funds. You have to do a 159, correct?
As long as I have something in writing, that's why I kind of hedged on that, saying I need something in writing, saying we are definitely receiving the award, then I will do that.
Then we'll do the 159. Okay. We go with that?
Yes.
Yeah, these are all functional things that we need. AEDs need to be replaced. Barriers are becoming more and more need. Solar speed limit signs are all hot topics that we try to for lots of streets where we get lots of complaints. So yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Well done.
Okay. Next is Resolution 2020-324. That's a resolution authorizing temporary employment to Tori Hooven. This is for the courts.
Correct.
Right. Because we've lost staff and we need, by statute, certain staffing in the courts. We'll go with that?
Yes.
I think she's only there. Is it 1 or 2 days a week?
It'll be 2 days when we have some staff out.
Okay. One day. Okay. Alternative, whenever needed. Okay. Great.
As needed.
Next is Resolution 2020-325, and this is authorizing the mayor to execute a memorandum of agreement with the city, with the Ventnor City PBA Local 97. Mm-hmm. Maria?
So.
Oh, okay. So, you want to take it or you want me to take it?
Tim? Somebody?
I can break it down briefly. I mean, we're at a decision point when we had to go from 6-hour to 8-hour shifts, and that we were faced with the potential of $120,000 potentially in overtime. So we asked the PBA if they would be interested, and they did bring back a proposal that some were and some weren't to execute a buyback. So the cost of the buyback means that we'll have more officers on the street. We won't have that deficit of short shifts. There is a cost associated to that, but it's going to be roughly $70,000 less than the potential
of overtime.
So it's
I want to clarify, we went from 12-hour shifts to 8-hour shifts.
12 hours to 8 hours.
8-hour shifts. In order to man the streets, because we had a shortage of staff, police officers, temporarily. And
but there are a few
the way the PBA contract reads, if the chief has to cancel vacations, which he will have to do or has done, they are awarded a day and a half for every day canceled.
Right.
So this mitigates that.
Nice. I think it was a good solution from both their side and ours. I think it worked.
Yeah.
It's a good working relationship from what you told me.
Absolutely.
There's a few win-win
situations.
And
then further, if someone does take vacation, then somebody's being brought in for overtime at time and a half.
It hurts.
So it's good. So okay.
It keeps us a little more stable, plannable situation financially.
Perfect.
Thank you for your work on that, Chief.
Call me after that, right?
Thank you.
Good job, Chief. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
And he took the.
Thank you.
I can look here.
But that was your. That was. I appreciate all the work you did. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we will have the approval of our bills and payrolls over the last few weeks. And the next is discussion item. So. I think we have trick-or-treating on the discussion item list.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
So, trick-or-treating. I did speak to the representative that we in Atlantic County have from the governor's office, and the information he gave me is it's a home rule. Each municipality can do as they choose. Nothing's coming down from the state to say that there's no trick-or-treating. I think there's a memory back after Sandy when I think the governor sitting in the chair canceled trick-or-treating that year. So at this point, Governor Murphy has not gone to do an executive order that trick-or-treating is not allowed. I read an article from the CDC and it tells you the activities that are high risk. Of course, crowded parties, any kind of parades. Trick-or-treating door-to-door is, there is the risk because you're coming in contact with people. The one suggestion is that the people that want to do it or want to give out candy, they would actually have it set up in their driveway or near somewhere where they could just take it themselves. I don't know. I'm at a loss for this because I don't know. I don't know if the parents and with the children that are small that want to go trick or treating, if it's something. Oh, the other high risk is trunk or treat, which we did for the first time last year, which it was huge. And
that's the reason why we really shouldn't do that.
We're not doing it because that
put everybody in a line.
It forms a cluster. The kids come right up to the car. And the other thing is
line wrapped the library.
We would have been the only one, the only place in with trunk or treat, and we would have got killed.
So we know what other towns near us are doing?
I haven't heard anything about.
I talked to Mayor Becker. They're still discussing it like we are. They haven't come to a decision.
It's I think it's something we need to bounce around a little bit more.
What I don't want to have happen is nobody else does it.
Exactly.
So trunk or treat, and then we become
exactly
ground zero for everybody.
So we need to know. We need. I mean, you know, you talk to Mayor Becker. I can reach out
to. I'll reach out to AC too.
Yeah. So you reach out to Marty. Yeah. We need to make see. We need to be on the same page, or one city's going to get clobbered. And then I guess it would be more up to, as I say, self responsibility. I mean, if parents want to take the kids out, I mean, they say that. Oh, they also say costume mask is not a mask.
Everybody gets to dress up as a doctor.
Exactly. So there you go. Or a nurse.
Or a nurse.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be.
Yeah, there you go. So,
that's the only approved costume.
Right. That's it. So, they do.
For a mummy.
Yeah, there you go. They're specific that a costume mask is not the required mask. Again, parents, they need to do their job as a parent. If they, you know, if we decide to let it go, then if the parents want to bring their children out, and then for the homeowners, I don't know if we, you get to a point of how much do we regulate. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's just.
I think we continue talking about it, see what other towns are doing, and circle back. We've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think.
And it's a Saturday this year.
Oh boy.
I can weigh in now. I'm a no. If there's a potential that there's somebody that's COVID positive and we're getting still COVID positive in the area that is then going to potentially walk door to door in a neighborhood. And we've traveled the whole Heights with families and go from one end of the Heights to the other.
Right.
You know, and if there's a potential for us to spread, I don't think we're there yet. I think we have to come up with different alternatives in the area, but I'm willing to listen.
Right.
I'm leaning that same way.
I can't see how you could.
I'm leaning that way, but we're open to ideas.
Yeah. There could be a creative alternative to have some type of less fun alternative, but to potentially put someone that's COVID positive or multiple people that are coming from out of town that COVID.
Oh, I know. I know in the Heights. I mean.
That's where all the houses are facing.
Sure. We have a school right now that's running on the fact that nobody has any COVID and that we're not taking any chances. That's why we're doing a hybrid. I really think we need to look at the bigger picture here is that for 1 year we can say no to Halloween so that nobody takes a chance. We don't have 50 different people touching 50 different candies. I think we just gotta really step up and say, yeah, this isn't the year for Halloween. I mean, it's really, are we really going down that road? One kid gets sick, one kid goes to school, one kid gets COVID, the whole school shuts down. We've got to mitigate that. We've got to stop taking chances. I think people just have to say, okay, we're going to take this serious, and we're not going to have Halloween for a year, and we're not going to give up candy door to door because we're going to be increasing the chances of the potential spread exponentially. I think we have to look bigger than this.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a whole community here. And I think you may find out that most parents would rather, you know, maybe not have the kids go out for Halloween and not get sick. And maybe just do what you've been doing for the last 6 months and being sure about this and listen to what the CDC is saying. and this is kind of a risk that you don't need to take.
I say we have a virtual Halloween the day after when all the candy's half price.
The public safety issue, I don't know who will be on the chief card, but it really may come down to that. I think we want to stand firm and stand together on this. And maybe some people that come up and speak about the, anything else, they might want to just try it and say, yeah, maybe we don't need that Halloween. It's a bogus commercialized holiday anyway, in my opinion. And we've got to get that to vote. We've got to be real about this.
No, and you're
good point, Steve.
Good point, because I mean, the children in our school, they are literally in corners so far away from each other with the mask on the whole day.
Now, if we're that concerned, and I'm talking about ideas,
right.
I'd like to work with the school, and maybe we could do something where the community as a whole donates, households pop up in bags of candy, and when they get individual bags of candy,
right.
For our students from like fourth grade down,
right.
And hand that down to them, like the parents are from what they eat. And everybody gets a little tight taste of Halloween. Something
right.
Like that.
Right.
We're smart people here. We can think of ways around this without actually having to put our kids and our citizens in harm's way.
Yeah. An outdoor giveaway at the school the day before Halloween would be would be a nice idea.
I mean, just like I said, I'm sure the people out there that are thinking of ideas, such as ways to do this.
Doug, can you? Yeah, I think Ocean City canceled their big Halloween parade a while. They've already canceled that. Doug, can you get the number of the children from pre-K, K, first, second? Can you do that for me?
Yes, I can.
Or for us, actually? Okay. Okay.
Like I said, I think we should always just think of it that way. And the more time we get parents to help with the grieving children over Halloween, I think rather than a week before or a day before canceling it, I think now's the time to say.
Our next meeting.
Unless we find a cure and everybody's miraculously okay, then the next one. But I think the right way to join is, hey, we're not doing this trip. That's just it.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay. We have nothing else on discussion, right?
Nope.
Okay. Tim McGuire out there?
He was.
I know. I see his name.
Oh, I am. Tim McGuire is out.
Hi, Tim. Tim, if we do not allow, if we choose not to allow trick-or-treating, is that something we actually have to do a resolution?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No,
I don't think you have to do a resolution. That can just be a decision.
Just like canceling the parade.
I agree with the chief. You should try to publicize that as much in advance as possible.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we don't need to make a decision here at this body. We
exactly.
Can do that. Just like we have to cancel the parade.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Good enough. All right. So we're going to move on. So the next is the public portion. However, this public portion for everyone on Zoom and in the chambers, this is the time when you can discuss anything that we're going to vote on. So everything you just heard me read, the ordinances, the public hearing, we're going to have, that's actually a chance that you could talk on those specific ordinances at that time. That is this time. This is not the public portion to discuss any other item. That will come at the very end of the meeting, okay? So just a little bit, I know we have a large amount of people on Zoom tonight, which is wonderful. We do have a nice amount of people here in the chambers, so we do limit it to 3 minutes per person. And if you want to speak, if you're in the chambers, you come up to the microphone. If you're on Zoom, our techie, James will tell you what to do. You state your name and your address, and then you begin to speak. Okay, so do I have a motion to open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, this is now it's open. I'll start it with the people in the chambers. I think that's probably the easiest. Is there anyone here that would like to speak on anything that we will be voting on at our regular meeting? No. Okay, I don't see anyone, Jim, in the chamber, so is there anyone on the Zoom call that wants to speak on any of the items that we are going to vote on?
If there's anybody on the Zoom call who would like to speak on any of the items that are being voted on, please use the raise hand function within Zoom or recognize yourself in the chat feature and you will recognize. Yeah, only the items that are being voted on.
You lost your turn. No, go ahead. I have somebody in the chambers. You can speak your...
Yeah, hi.
Your name, your...
Jeffrey Jaskel, 104 South Nashville. I just wanted to speak in favor of the beach badge discussion because I know that in addition to all the cost, we are also very inexpensive for beach bags. Beach badges relative to other communities that we essentially come out and, you know, local to us. So we were way low, and now we have an opportunity to gain some revenue for the city. The Citizens Advisory Committee has strongly, strongly been in favor of this for a long time, trying to come up with some ideas to help the city gain some revenue.
See, we listen to you.
Takes us a while, but come on.
We're excited. I'm very excited that we have an opportunity to actually see some good work come to fruition. So,
thank you.
And you kept it on the agenda at every meeting. Yeah.
Thank you.
Top of the agenda.
Yeah. Thanks for you and everyone that's on that committee for your dedication over the last few years. Anyone out there, Jim?
Yes, there was Rowan Ford. And we are telling children to stay, we are telling parents to stay, cursory is not safe right now. You can do a Zoom call with a Zoom party in classes. You can do a dance party in classes. There's a million things you can do, and parents would love to be able to not be the bad guys for kids. So, in anticipation for the school board,
she wants us to be the bad guys.
Whoever takes responsibility to say, we're not doing it, parents take something off their shoulders, they feel a little bit like, okay, we're not the bad guys, it's okay, we'll do it next year, and we're keeping everyone safe. We're now getting ready to be closed in again, and we have to be careful. We don't know what's happening out there right now.
Thank you. And the parents won't be the bad guys, but I am a mom, so I'm sure my 7-year-old grandson won't be too happy with it. But then again, I'll buy him all the candy he wants. Anyway, but thank you for your input.
I understand it, so 100% I agree with you.
Yes.
Thanks, Rona.
Thank you very much. Anyone else out there, Jim?
I think half off Halloween's going to get traction.
Anyone else getting hot in here?
I do not see anyone.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to close public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do I have a motion to close public portion? Do I have a motion to close the workshop portion of the meeting?
Motion to close workshop.
Do I have a motion to
second? Second
all
motion.
In favor?
Aye.
Okay. A call to order the regular portion of the meeting and get started. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 27th and September 10th regular meeting? Lisa, was I there for both of them? I was. Yes, I was. Okay. Do I have a motion for August 27th and September 10th?
Motion to approve minutes from August 27th and September 10th.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do I have a motion to introduce Ordinance 2020-021?
Motion to introduce Ordinance 2020-021.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do I have a motion to introduce Ordinance 2020-022?
Motion to introduce Ordinance 2020-022.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do I have a motion to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2020-019?
Motion to open public portion on public hearing on Ordinance 2020-019.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's now open to the public. If anyone would like to speak specifically on this ordinance, and this relates to the water usage rates going up slightly, if that This is the only, this is the time for only that. Jim, is there anyone out there?
Anybody in the audience to speak for a question on the ordinance in regards to water rates? Please notice in the chat or by raising your hand if you have any questions.
No? Okay. Do I have a motion to close public hearing for, on 2020-019?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do I have a motion to adopt ordinance 2020-019?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2020-019.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next is a public hearing on ordinance 2020-020. Do I have a motion to open to the public hearing?
Motion to open public hearing on ordinance 2020-020.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. This is the public hearing on ordinance 2020-020. This is the rate increase for the sewer. If anyone would like to speak on this topic. I have no one in the chambers. Jim, do you have anybody in out there in Zoom? Okay. Do I have a motion to close public hearing portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do I have a motion to adopt ordinance 2020-020?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2020-020.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Mr. Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we have the resolutions 2020-311 to 2020-325. These are resolutions we will vote on by consent. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to adopt resolutions 2020-311 to 325.
Do I have
Hold on.
Oh, that's right.
And 322 as amended.
As amended.
Amended, right. Kitchen must open.
Yes.
Must be open and serving food at all times while alcohol is being served.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
On your game.
Did you do the motion?
Second the motion.
Oh, thank you. Lisa, roll call, please.
Mr. Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Al, will you give us our bills and payrolls to be approved, the amounts?
Yes, for the bill list, this period.
Could you have Al turn the microphone so we can hear this?
Do a little walk. Grab the mic.
Thanks, Al.
No problem. Okay, for the bill list this period, we had bills in the total of $2,298,869.25. And for payroll this period, we have $558,162.52.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do I have a motion to approve bills and payroll stated from our CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do we have any announcements? Or safety reports? We're good?
Nope.
No, we're good.
We're good?
Yep.
Okay. That
could
be
Commissioner comments.
Commissioner comments?
I got something for that, yep. Thank you, Mayor. As hopefully everyone's aware, this winter or this fall will be our beach replenishment. Great Lakes, I think, is the company that was awarded the contract. They have already started mobilization. Some of their trucks, they're not using our access at Suffolk Avenue this time. They're using all Delavan Avenue in Margate.
Okay.
I think because we asked them, and they're rebuilding it for us as part of this project.
Right.
They're going to rebuild that concrete ramp up over the boardwalk at Suffolk Avenue. So they won't be taking their trucks over it anymore because they don't want to rebuild it. So they're starting that mobilization. They will start doing their surveying from our pier to the border with Margate. We will be first, and then they will work into Margate after that. No real sand is anticipated to be pumped onto the beach east or north of the pier, of our pier. Most of our work will be done between those two piers. They will be doing work on some of the walkovers and some of the dune reshaping, and even some of the slope, the beach slope reshaping. They will reslope some of that. As everybody's well aware, our erosion this year was between the two piers. Pretty significant. The sand's there. If you went to those beaches at all this summer, that sand is about 50 yards off the beach.
Right.
You had a sandbar there and made life heck for a lot of our lifeguards. We had a record number of rescues this year.
Absolutely.
But that's what caused a lot of that, was that sand bar being offshore and creating that gully. This will hopefully solve that problem for at least a year, maybe two, and then it comes back. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, nature.
We've asked them to look at solutions for that. Ed Stinson met with them. I was on the call for a bit of it as well. We've asked for a lot this year from them. We've asked for a lot of walkover replacement, the concrete ramp at Suffolk, as I talked about, and some other things we've asked them to fix throughout the process. So that's going to start in the next 2 to 3 weeks pretty heavily.
Good. Great. Thank you.
Well, one question. At the Suffolk ramp, does that mean that the boardwalk's going to be closed?
They'll have to work around that. Yeah, at times it will be. When they get to that final work, we're going to have to work around that. So they're going to coordinate that with Ed.
The ramp coordinate is, it start and stops the boardwalk.
Correct.
In that yeah. area. So
what'll have to happen
pour
is,
that?
Yeah, when they pour that, we'll have to shut that portion down.
Okay.
We've had that. We didn't do that when we had the, I think we had four sections where some of the piling were rotted out.
Right.
We had to close them down.
Right.
It helped that we did some of that while the boardwalk was closed.
Yeah.
Completely.
You could always put a Mack truck on there like that the first year. Remember the truck drove down it?
Got stuck.
Yeah, the semi, yeah. Yeah.
Just one little click from best route to drive or best route to walk.
Walk, yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
What the guy did with the truck in
2017, we had a tractor trailer enter the boardwalk in Atlantic City and drive all the way to Margate.
This is GPS
to the end of our boardwalk.
And then couldn't get off because the radii at Albany Avenue where he got on, he could turn and couldn't get off. So we had to, luckily we had the beach replenishment guys here. Walter's Marine actually set up in between the boardwalk and the ramp all of their lumber.
And then
they could actually make a radius.
Off.
Took out all the railing. Uh-huh. Take down all the railing. It was we sued the company. They paid us for the overtime, but not right. for any damage to the boardwalk.
Right.
Because we couldn't prove that truck did it.
Mm.
So
right, I remember.
It was comical in a way, but disturbing in many more ways.
So. Yeah, you got that right. Okay.
So, thank you.
I have two things. I just want to update the. Thank you, Mayor. The mayor and the commissioner on the door project. So we met today with the architect and Ed Stinson and our illustrious chief Biagi and the IT department and broke it down to a point where we're going to be doing this in phases so that we can keep this moving. That if you take a minute and walk down to the, the west side of the building, where there used to be a VFW station, the east side would have those doors were all replaced, and the phase one would be replacing the doors on this side of the building, on the second floor.
Right.
And that can be done pretty quickly. It's ready to go, and that would bring the electronics up to speed and the safety and security of this floor up to speed. The phase two, which is going to be a little bit more involved, is going to be the first floor. We came up with some really good, I think, programs that would update the building, not just the doors. And we're having the architect look at this as a more comprehensive program so that when people come to the city hall that they have a wayfinding. We're potentially have a millwork entrance at the Cambridge Avenue side, so that's our most secure entrance now that people have become used to during COVID to enter during that from Cambridge Avenue, and all the doors, so there'd be a reception area there that we could, instead of the ugly gate that we closed,
yeah.
Right. We would also potentially consider putting a sign on the Cambridge Avenue side, like an electronic sign that we have on at station two.
Nice.
That would
okay.
sort of indicate to people that's where you're entering, and it doesn't have to be an electronic sign, but I think that was part of the conversation. It could just be simply a memorial sign that's saying that this is an opening.
The only concern I would have with the digital is the light.
Right.
light from it. You got houses in really close proximity there, and that, those digital LED signs give off a fair amount of light.
They do, and we'll be sensitive to that. So that's early days in that conversation.
Like that, yeah.
But the idea of having that entrance be more programmed for the public, new doors throughout the first floor that would include, that would be matching to the doors upstairs, and they would have, and exterior doors would all be for emergency access and fob access, working within the historical guidelines of the city. So that's a heavier lift to make that, but I think signage is important.
But it should be a heavier lift.
It is.
Just popping indoors.
Because right now, it's just kind of something that has been ignored, and now we have, you know, other cities have security issues, and our city is a little bit behind that, I think. So we're going to get a proposal that might even include an electronic directory downstairs instead of the one that is, you know, nice, but no one's ever seen it. You can barely walk by it. There's an electron. There's a cast directory that tells you which city.
No, I know. Get rid of it. I gotcha.
All right.
I don't want to lose the old signs, though. I don't want to lose those old.
No, in fact, we talked about maybe even recreating them. Yeah. But in a better format, because right now they're kind of like made by street signs and like the Parkway Green.
Right, right.
So that could
be. We want something a little better.
We like green, but not
one thing
here.
I would ask, when they take these doors off, keep them.
Oh, these doors, well, yeah, we'll keep those doors, but that was another comment. All the double doors, which are really the historical oak doors here, those wouldn't be changed.
Okay, good.
But the sort of the rank and file doors from the offices, they would all be kind of unitized. And we'll have a chance to look at the presentation to say this is what we want. We'll keep those.
Like some of the doors downstairs, they're original.
They're beautiful.
If we replace them, auction them off.
Yeah, they're
beautiful.
Yeah, you could as a piece of Ventnor history. That's right. And then just one real brief more water cooler conversation. I bumped into Bill Crowther today, and he's doing his adits, which is the additional taxes revenues from year to year. In 2012. In 2017, our adits were around 12 million. In 2018, our adits were around 14 million. In 2019, they're around 17 million. We're on track this year to be $20 million in adits, and that is beyond. And that's still with, in his words, potentially 20 houses that are still under construction that would come to full completion by the end of the year. So even though we have lots of positive news on that, I think we still have to keep our eye on the ball and reduce costs and increase revenue. But this is good. This is good news for us.
It is good.
Okay. We're good.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So the next is our public comment portion, and this is where the people in the chambers as well as Zoom. This is when you can you state your name and your address, and this is when you can talk about anything. Like I said, there's. We're dealing with over 100 people between the chambers and Zoom. So if you state your name and your address and you say what you have to say, I will add a little color to this before we get started. Earlier from the beginning of the meeting when the presentation was done and I could see whatever messages and things that were being said, I don't know what happened when I took a 5-minute recess. I could just hear people talking. There's enough ugly in the world. There's enough ugly in the world. So let's all give due respect to whether it's the commission here, the people sitting next to you, the people on Zoom. We all have the right. We all know the Constitution. Everybody knows the Constitution. Say what you have to say. Leave out any negative words or comments. This is not what this meeting is about. We, the commission, understand the residents and your concerns. We know you pay taxes. We know if you're a second homeowner, you pay taxes. You don't use our resources. Your children don't go to our school. We know this already. We respect you and what you have to say, but what I saw coming through on the screen was just not nice. And as the mayor of the city, the commissioners and I and our whole team, our police, our fire, all our department heads, our CFO, our administrator, Maria, we have worked hard over the last 4 years, and now we are in for another 4 years to do everything we can to make Ventnor better. This is a situation that, in your opinion, it may not be the best, but I think Jen Hansen, thank you, she explained there are laws. Like I said, we all know our constitutional rights. Well, there are laws that you can and cannot do. So we understand the people and your frustration. We get it. What I will not have in our city and under our direction, and I think the commissioners are on board, is it's not going to be what I seem to either see in the news or in the paper or a magazine. It's just there is enough ugly in the world. I don't want ugly tonight in this public session. Commissioners, are you on board with me?
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
For making that clear.
So you can say what you have to say, say it respectfully, say it, and don't, people need to stop judging. Nobody has the right in my world to make judgments. So we understand your concerns, but be kind. We need a little more kindness in this world. So do I have a motion to open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll start with the people in the chambers. Jim, if you don't mind, because it's easier, they're right here in front of us than the people that are comfortable at home or wherever. So is there anyone in the chambers that would like to speak? You can get up to the microphone, state your name and your address, make your comment, and then please be seated.
Sure.
Because another thing, this is not...
Pull it all down.
Yeah, Stacey, bring it all the way down. It's not going to be a back and forth with we, the commission, and the resident. You can say what you have to say. Lisa, it's all recorded.
3 minutes, right?
Yeah. So, like I said, say what you have to say. We're not going to... It's not going to become a discussion. Mm-hmm. We'll be here till 3 in the morning. Everything is recorded. If there's a need, also, if anybody wants to meet with myself or Commissioner Kriebel or Landgraf, you call the office and you can set up a one-on-one meeting. So this part of it is basically your name, your address, state your whatever you want to state, and then please be seated. Okay. And that's the same for everyone in here, and that is the same for everyone on Zoom, okay? Okay.
My name is Stacey Jaskell, 104 South Nashville. It's so hard with the mask on.
You could put it down and talk if you want.
I'll talk. Much better.
Yes.
So I'm the president of the North Beach Residents Association, and I just want everybody to know that I personally support, recognize, respect, and honor the right of these sober living houses to exist, and the need for them in our community, the work they do for our community, and the contribution they make to our community. In my discussions with the North Beach group, the members of our association, nobody has ever expressed anything other than that to me. If they have other opinions, I don't know about them. So we have support for the sober living house and having them be part of our community. I think it's also established that the Hansen Foundation runs a very well organized, that the mission is excellent, that the houses are run in a way that makes them be good neighbors, and all of that. So there's really no issue there at all. That's not the issue. The issue is this. So we've spent 12 years changing the perception, or trying to change the perception, of the North Beach section of Ventnor, which also helps change the perception of Ventnor as a whole, as a residential, desirable, family atmosphere in which to live. And what I see now is that there's a focus, of a real focus, on our section of town and on Ventnor in general for sober living houses. And I think that there is the concentration and having them all be together changes the very nature of our residential neighborhoods. And that's not a positive thing for Ventnor. And I understand all the protections and all of that. But what's happening is the reputation, the perception becomes the reality. And if we are perceived as the center of social services, social service homes, then we lose our identity as a residential community. And that's really the biggest issue for me. There are 25 homes that we have talked about. I believe there are actually many more. I have heard about more from other people. People are telling me about homes that are not on anybody's list. I don't know who's operating them. It's not the Hanson Foundation, I don't think. It's other groups. They're not all reputable. They're not all operating them properly. And so there are, I think, 12 I counted of the 25 just in the North Beach section. So the focus of us being a social service center, it changes the entire nature of our community. And that's what I have an issue with.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Yes, my name's Fred Furman, 112 South Nashville, and I would certainly second what Stacy just said. But one other thing I would urge upon the commissioners. I listened tonight, and what I took away from this was almost a sense of defeatism, that there's nothing we can do, we'll shrug our shoulders, we're stuck. And I think that attitude is one that's really not very helpful to the community. I think there are things that can be done. I think there's a duty that exists to preserve the neighborhoods. There's things such as safety. There's parking. When Jennifer says she has a minimum of five cars in a house of a minimum of 10 people, I think about the beach blocks. Where are these cars going to park? This is something that you deal with this all the time. Safety, you have people smoking out on these porches. I have no idea, and I'm not sure that you've ceded or you've lost the opportunity to govern, you know, the fire safety within these homes. I don't know, but it's certainly something that should be of great concern here. Likewise, the fact there are the cluster that exists, four homes within probably 500 feet of each other, and she acknowledged that she was going to do something. But right now, anybody could come in. This could become the sober living home capital of the East Coast. You can't just sit back and shrug your shoulders and say, the law is stopping us. The law is not stopping you. There are ways within the law to preserve the neighborhood and protect the residents of this neighborhood. And at the same time, these are legitimate services that are being provided in these sober living homes, provided they're properly run. Nobody disputes that. So please, I'd ask you to consider that.
No, we didn't do that. So, yes.
Just to comment on that, not giving up. I've been, I don't want to use the word fight this. I've been working on this for a while. One of the good things that I think came out of my meeting with Assemblyman Mazzio yesterday, and even discussing it with Jennifer and her mom, Edwina, the bill that Mazzio had proposed required these facilities to get either licensed or certified. I'm not sure the term, but it's one of those two. There are a lot of them in town that cannot get that certification because they don't follow those rules. So that is our way to weed out the bad apples, if you will, and then also possibly reduce the number. If we can, and my goal is to work with Assemblyman Mazzio, Senator Brown, Hanson Foundation to get this bill tweaked where it also protects us a little bit more. Well, I can't put in it is limit of numbers, and I cannot put in the radius that Atlantic City's trying to do. That's just costing them money in a lawsuit.
Well,
so I'm not going to go back and forth. I just want to tell you where I am at.
I appreciate that. That
so
needs to be seen.
But we're working
like,
on
like sprinklers that the boarding homes have.
Well, but that's exactly what Jennifer said today. She said, unless that's required in a single family home, they cannot be required in a sober living facility.
Of course, I understand, and it goes back to the exclusion that
exactly.
It's section F.
So we can do fire inspection.
But
that's
again,
the one thing we can do.
I think the legislature has to be dealt with
and
as well.
That's where we're working.
That's who we're working.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. There's got to be a balance.
Right.
But life's a balance, and we hear you.
I think you understand, again, what I think Stacy said it very well, and I nobody is saying sober living homes are terrible, that, you know, people shouldn't get services.
You might want to look at the chat room.
The chat room, yeah, you didn't see that my introduction into this section was because of what I was saying in the chat room.
I don't know, Jennifer, but I can tell you, there are people out there who run sober living homes who, I assure you, do a horrible, yep, horrible, right, horrible job.
Right. And they do a great job.
The neighborhood as well,
you're right,
as the consumers.
Right, you're absolutely right.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much. Anyone else here in the chambers that would like to speak? How are you?
Hi, I'm Jordan Jacobson. I live at 1 South Hillside in the North Beach area, Ventnor. I'm going to speak from personal experience. The people that are in recovery, from my experience, and I'm in recovery myself, and I've also been in sober homes that are not like Jennifer Hansen's. I would have given anything to be in a home like hers. But people in recovery and the people in this community that are in recovery tend to be really concerned about how everyone feels about them. Right? They've been through a very demoralizing experience. And they do everything they can to work extremely hard, be a productive member of the society, do all the things that they're supposed to be doing. And this is a great place for them to be. And we should welcome them with open arms. We should. I was brought up to take care of people, to give back to humanity, to help others. And if no one didn't reach out and help me, I would never be standing here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for speaking.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
You can take
that. Hello. Hey.
Hi.
Yes, so 1 South Hillside as well. And I just wanted to kind of talk for just a brief second and then take a seat. You know, I am a part of the cluster of people, per se. I think that was the word that was used, that lived in that house for 16 months. I am in society today, and I pay my taxes, like everybody says. I have a beautiful baby boy, and I work in this field, and I try to give back what was so freely given to me. I'm not trying to pull on everyone's heartstrings or discuss the emotional content or value behind recovery, but I definitely live in my house, and it's extremely well structured, and I am a product of that environment. I work in the treatment field now, like I said, so I'm here to answer any questions that anyone has about any level of sober living, who runs it, and you know, any type of question. They're very up to date on this, so I am here. I'm willing to answer questions, and I just wanted to say I'm really honored that I get to be here tonight in front of everyone, and I hear everyone's concern, and I think it must be very difficult to deal with those things, and if I can help in any way by maybe answering some questions or validating those concerns, please feel free to grab me whenever you can. So that's all I have.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha.
Anyone else? I mean, you had one person from the family. You can't do a double. I'm teasing you, Jeff. I'm teasing you.
Shut him down? Good luck.
My name is Jeffrey Jaskell, 104 South Nashville. And the biggest thing I want to add is we don't really know in North Beach exactly what we have. We've had all sorts of numbers. It looks to me like there's four levels. There's sober houses, there's halfway houses, there's group homes that are run in a different model, and then there's rooming houses. And I think it would do us as a town a little bit better if we got the word out as to what was what, because I believe personally that we came up with a list of five or six, two of which I have absolutely confirmed today, of homes that are not on the list, but are group living arrangements of some sort. So I don't know, and I don't know what the rules are, because, okay, if the Hansons are living by the rules, but if someone else isn't living by the rules, we need to help them as a town live by what the rules are.
Right.
There are homes that don't look like homes, so they don't appear to be a residence.
Right.
There are homes where people are afraid to announce themselves from the other side, because if you're the one full-time resident who lives on the street and you complain enough, the folks that live in the other house will know that you're the complainer, and that sort of singles you out in a bad way. So I know this on behalf of us at North Beach. We're at least trying to get a list to give to you guys.
Right.
That sort of tells you, can you help us out with not only what are the sober house and the rules as we've done tonight? It's been a great sharing of opportunity. But can you tell us the other ones so that we really know? Because as far as I know, for example, rooming houses in Ventnor are not permitted.
Right. Airbnbs are.
Yeah,
right, I know.
But,
yeah.
But an Airbnb is not a single room rented
exactly,
for a week
exactly.
to somebody. And right. and if we can do a better job, perhaps, of what those, you know, you guys can issue out on the sites or give right. to us what these groups are, we
right.
can do a better job of helping tell you what is what.
So what the reason I reached out to DCA, we don't issue the COs anymore. They took that away from us several years ago. So that's why it's hard for the city as a municipality to track these. So what I did, I reached out to Rob Long, as I said, and he gave me actually someone who does that, who does their inspections for them. So I'm getting with them. They gave me a website, which was really hard to understand, to see where, and you can put in your county and drill it down. I couldn't find the right numbers for us either. So I have to call back to them and find out. They don't make the stuff easy to find.
No.
And you guys know, you in theory know some degree of how to get around the system. You know, the rest of us are just...
I make
just,
phone calls. You know, if I can't figure it out, I call the guy who wrote it.
Yeah, 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 but at least you know who to call.
Yeah.
Okay, right. we have, you know, we have Google, and that doesn't necessarily lead us to the best spot.
No.
Right.
No.
Neither does Alexis
so
or
we're,
whatever.
So we're working on that aspect of to get a finite, a correct, accurate list of all the types of group living. So the rooming houses you talk about, that's actually the category that Hanson House falls into right now because there is no category for the sober living type facilities that they put in. The rooming house F is what they fall under, which isn't regulated as it needs to be. The bill that they've proposed, that Assemblyman Mazzio and Armada proposed, does that. And I think once I get more comfortable with that and we can tweak that, I think that will help us.
Okay.
And then we will need support to get that bill passed as quickly as possible so we can start tracking, get the businesses that are certified to do this work, these entities that are certified to do the work, they're the ones that can operate in our community. And we would have to pass some regulations
right.
locally.
Yeah.
To
and
I think we, but just if I can just interject, the notion of the city doing some type of information sharing with the public in that way, that's a careful position to be in. There you cannot have that potentially could be considered prejudice in some way. And it may seem like a reach, it may seem like we're, in your words, lying down, which I disagree with, but we are doing, and Lance has taken the lead on this, but having a town hall meeting is verboten. Having a notification to neighbors, we're not interested in that kind of contributing to that kind of stigma. We're interested in knowing the law and following the law.
Well, and I'm interested in knowing what the laws are, so that when the community comes to us, who are not beholden to the same legal perspective rules, we can at least inform them.
Right.
I can't tell you the amount of times the basic start of explaining that these various types of homes are protected by the American Disabilities Act, just to share that with a lot of mm-hmm. our constituents is we start with the basics. This is a football. So we're trying to. Thank you.
Yeah, and
thanks,
just
Jeff.
Just to add one thing, I mean, I hear what you're saying and I hear what everyone's saying, but it's, I think people need to just take a little step back, because I think everybody, honestly, you need to take a little step back, because how many times have you seen things in the news or on TV or, you know, you don't know what's going on in your neighbor's house next to you. How many times does something come out in the paper and you're like, oh my, okay, and it's someone, this upholding, you know, this wonderful citizen, you know, it could be someone of a profession that's around children, and then you find out, you know, they're a pedophile.
Let's let them
Yeah.
It's not good to have that.
So, I mean, it's, no, I'm just saying, you
take
don't...
Take a step back, understood.
Yeah, take a step back. You don't know what's going on in your neighbor's house. So I think we need to rethink what we're thinking here. Because there's a house with 10 people, there's not a house with 6 people that all have the same DNA, we don't know what's going on, and we need to just take a little step back, okay? Okay. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Danielle DeVito. I live at 607 North Suffolk. Trying not to
You're around the corner from me.
Yes, I am. I'm trying not to get too sad here. As a human, I'm a little embarrassed that human life and my children would definitely beg to differ that property taxes should have came before my life. I lived in that house for 6 months, and I would be dead right now if I didn't have that home, and I wouldn't be a mother, and I wouldn't have a job, and I wouldn't pay my water and my sewer and my electric at my house. Jennifer Hansen helped save my life. All she's doing is working on a solution, and everybody keeps trying to kick her down. The epidemic, the pandemic, people are dying every day. She's working on a solution, and you're worried about property taxes? Are you kidding me? It's disgusting, and it embarrasses me as a human being and a recovering addict. I think human life should be a little bit more valuable than that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Do I have, can I run to the ladies' room real quick, or do I have to take another, do we have to do another recess?
We have to do a recess, yeah.
Okay. I'll recess after you. I'm sorry.
I'll be very brief.
Okay.
I'm Edwina Hansen.
What's your name?
Edwina Hansen.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you.
Fine. First of all, I'd like to thank the people who have come out tonight to express their opinions. We've been in business a very long time. And I've learned a long time ago that behind every person that's complaining are 20 more people, and they don't have the nerve to get up and say anything. And so you can't solve problems if you don't know what all the problems are. So in that regard, I thank you, and I thank you back there for, you know, expressing yourself. This gentleman back here said, you know, we really don't know the difference between all the different levels of houses. And that is something that we are trying to change with this bill. The state of New Jersey has not complied with the Federal Fair Housing Act. The only way that they have complied is by many years ago giving an accommodation to the Oxford houses, and they are a separate class all by themselves. They are not under Class F or boarding house standards. They are, you cannot really touch them. The only way that you could do anything is to have this credentialing agency, which allows people to know that the place that you're going to send your daughter or your son or your husband or wife, your friend, that it is a credentialed place, that they are running the sober living house by the best standards as established by NAR, which is the National Alliance of Recovery Services, Recovery Residents. And they are all criteria on how to run the best sober living house for the residents, how to help them recover. The Class F license is solely a brick and mortar license. It does nothing to tell people that are trying to run a house how to help people who are in your house become productive, I'll say productive citizens of a community. So that is what we have been trying to do. We have been trying to create something that would allow our houses to operate with best practices. Jennifer came back from California over 24 years ago, and said when she got back here, there's no way that people can recover in all of Atlantic County. There is no recovery here at all. And she said, well, we've got to change something. And
was it your first place, was it in Absecon or Galloway?
Well, the first thing that we did is we opened two halfway houses, and they're both called Hanson houses, and they're on Alo Street. 34 beds for men, 34 beds for women. The men's house opened first, and the state couldn't believe that we could get this house up and running and do so well. We partnered with Hendricks House of Vineland, and they were the operating partner. They turned around and said, you know, would you build one for women? And they gave us the money to get most of that up. So since that time, Jennifer said, well, this is great, but I really want to get involved in the aftercare, after people have been in treatment. Because that's really where all the work happens. You know, it's where people learn to live day in and day out, get a job, learn how to manage their...
Food shop, cook.
Jennifer's written a book. It's not out yet, but paragraph in the book says, you know, when people come to us, they don't know how to do legitimate work. And you could say, well, what does that mean? It means they don't know how to get up and get to a job. They don't know how to get, write a resume. They don't know how to, they don't have a good work ethic, many. And so we teach them how to do their laundry, how to grocery shop, as you say, how to be good neighbors and respectful of other people. And it is so hurtful to see your name smeared all across the people when all that you're trying to do is have the passion to help people who haven't been able to help themselves. So with that, I'll say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to do a quick recess?
Sure. Motion so moved.
Do I second?
Second the motion.
Okay. Recess. Get us onto the ladies' room. Resume meeting.
Motion to resume the meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Meeting is resumed. Okay. Anyone else from the chambers? I think everyone spoke, right? We're good. Everybody's left with us. Okay. Jim, any, who's out there?
If anybody in the Zoom meeting wishes to speak, please use the raise hand function or yell in the chat and you will be recognized one at a time.
Yes, and then...
You can mute yourself until you have been recognized.
And Jim, they have to state their name and their address.
Correct. That's
okay. I'd
like
to speak.
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, thank you. Name is Richard Gober, 26 North Hillside Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey. I want to thank the young lady for doing the job she's doing. There's a couple old sayings. One is negative. No one wants it in their backyard. That's much of the concern we have this evening. Second of all, there's another one, an old saying, the realtors know, but that is KISS, keep it simple, stupid. All we're trying to do is spread this out. I have personally worked about 20 years to measure to try to make the North Beach area what it is today. We don't want to lose that. We are not opposed to the sober homes at all. We just hope that all of the people, I think personally, town hall meeting, personally, inviting all of the other group type of homes there for the public, instead of doing this on a public meeting, which is great. There's so many people who want to speak tonight. Have an opportunity for town hall meetings so we can learn a little better. Many people are not quite understand what Sober House stands for. Hearing those gentlemen and ladies speak of what they've gone through in their past has been fantastic. I just want to, when the young lady started, Ms. Hanson's looking for properties, have an opportunity to find them and have parking. We're going to have a movie theater open up in the near future. It seats 250 people. We're already in a C-sharp community with parking problems. So I just believe that we have an opportunity to possibly get together, talk about this better. And the last question I have, maybe Ms. Hanson can answer it, if not, the number of people in a residence, according to the voting codes, are two people for a bedroom that's 100 square feet. I don't know, Ms., maybe you know better, that still exists. So if you had four bedrooms, the maximum you could have in any type of residential housing would be eight. I don't know if that means difference for any of the social service type agencies. So I wish Ms. Hanson a tremendous amount of luck. We want to be part of